El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a weekly column for Cracked called The People vs. Adam Todd Brown, and I used to use it to put forward all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. Joining me today, he's a registered sex offender who, he's a sweetheart of a man who just got back from tour in the Midwest with me. You're going to be hearing a whole lot more of him on these podcasts in the near future. Better get used to that. Good thing he's one of the funniest people I know. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff May. Also joining me, speaking to some of the funniest people I know who will be on these podcasts a whole lot more in the future, here's another one, to quote DJ Khaled. He's also one of the funniest people I know, and in addition to hearing him a whole lot more here, you'll probably see him out on the road with us very soon, too. Ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable Quincy Johnson. It's going to be a great show. Shame we weren't recording for that part.
Guys, we always miss Jeff's most racist stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that not definitely a thing? I'm sorry about that.
You probably didn't know we were recording because the clock hadn't started yet.
Oh, okay.
The online stopwatch.
Onlinestopwatch.com. Hey.
Good morning.
We're recording a podcast today.
Hello and good morning.
Nothing unusual or out of the ordinary.
It is a little early. That's a little out of the ordinary.
It's a little early.
Yeah, it's a little early.
Brett's not here for some reason.
Oh, no, damn it. Hard. Mayor of Podcast City. He's on the re-election train.
Yeah.
Is it a train? Maybe. Is he running a train on an election campaign right now?
You know, I don't know what's happening, but yes, 100%.
Okay.
That is definitely what happened.
Shouts out to Brett fucking that election up.
Yeah.
Fucking that election.
That Brett-lection.
So how's everyone doing?
I'm doing great. I am.
Quincy Johnson's here. He brought us a donut.
Hi, guys. They had donuts. It was delicious.
From Bernie's?
Two comics.
No, Bernie's. Birdies.
Oh, Birdies. Yeah. See, I thought you said Bernie's.
It should be called Bernie's.
It was actually that bird.
It was the bird that landed on Bernie's podium.
It was that.
They franchised the bird, and now it's Bernie's.
He's riding that train.
That was a wonderful donut. So it tasted like it had actual strawberries in the frosting.
Oh, yeah. Everything's all natural, man. You know, even when I eat shitty, I eat all natural shit.
Yeah. It was a delight, and I thank you for bringing it, and it's been a great show. Thanks, everybody.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
We are out.
Check me out online at Quincy Johnson II.
And check me online at Quincy Johnson III.
Jeff, you're here.
I am.
How's it been going?
Oh, it has been.
We were on tour.
A very eventful week.
That?
Yeah. Yeah.
Say some things about it.
Adam and I just got back.
Hit it, Brett. You know, the hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes.
We were on tour.
Because I spent all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life.
It was important.
When all I really want to talk about is what I've been up to since last week.
Do you?
And that's why we call this segment This Week in Me. Yeah, maybe not.
Do you really want to talk about that?
Nah.
I thought that's why we were here.
It's about to get intense.
I thought this was the intervention. We're finally going to step in and be like, Adam, it's time we talk about this.
No.
No? Oh,
that's
never mind.
Never happening.
I'll put my letter away.
Okay. Fade it out, Brett.
Brett's not here. He can't fade it out.
Fucking get your shit together, Brett. Yeah. We just got back from tour. You and I almost killed each other after five days. But it's the way brothers want to kill each other.
What do you mean?
Brothers.
Oh, I think you meant brothers. So you all had on opposite colors and were beefing?
Yeah, he and I had each had different colored flannels.
This is the north side of the train and the south side of the train, motherfucker.
get on your side of the plane, motherfucker.
we're back from tour. That's good.
Which was great, by the way. The crowds were really, really fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to hear. The tour was...
Did anybody tape anything?
We recorded some things.
Some of our sets.
Well, it's funny because
good to hear.
Our original plan was to do like a tour documentary, and then we're like, oh, we don't have a way to do that.
We recorded some. We just should have brought someone with us, but there will definitely be more tours.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
good to hear.
We recorded some of the footage.
I think we hit peak touring numbers, which is five nights in a row.
Mm.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
There you go.
You generally need a break after that.
Well, usually, too, with tours, it's like you're in a city, you're there for a while.
At least three, two or three
like
days.
We were just, I mean, it was like Hard Day's Night. We were just like running back and forth to a million different places.
Outrunning adolescent girls.
Except Tom Ryman, he kept running after.
You said outrunning, and I'll have to look at you both like, oh, you did some kid touching. Okay, I get it. That's what you mean by outrunning the law from
Well, you just have to outrun the ugliest one.
Oh, okay.
It's like being chased by a bear.
Yeah.
Well, in the middle of the country, the ugly one always had like a club foot or something, so she's easy to get away from.
Yeah.
She's not going to just like pounce on you.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's the cute, horny ones that are
It's funny he says she.
Like how, can we just have It's the Cute, Horny Ones That Get You by Quincy as a soundbite for the rest of this show?
Absolutely. I don't see why we wouldn't.
I don't see why that could have disastrous results.
So, my column this week, in air quotes.
Uh-oh.
What? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so continue.
Yeah.
Tell me more about this column, Adam.
It's about legendary entertainment icons who are a little bit overrated.
I don't appreciate this topic already.
Yeah, this is...
When I read the email, I was like, Adam, you're not going to let this go, are you?
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah.
But I do... I will say this. Why isn't J.J. Abrams on this list?
We can talk about J.J. Abrams. Okay, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. I didn't look at Jeff's face. Why isn't
he on this list? Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about J.J. Abrams first?
Yeah,
Jeff got really upset.
No, I didn't get upset, but it gut checked me for a second. That's all.
You do Jeff realize he's worthless, correct? You do know that, right?
Worthless?
Worthless.
Wow, worthless. Hey,
how many films has J.J. Abrams directed?
I don't think you understand what the word worth means.
How many films has J.J. Abrams directed?
You know, fuck this. I'm out of here.
Good.
Well,
good.
Answer
guys,
the question.
No, finally got rid of Jeff.
He did
thank
what? Mission Impossible, Mission Protocol? Was that him? Which one was it? Mission Impossible 3?
MI3, yeah.
He did MI3. He did Cloverfield. He did Star Wars Episode 7. He did Star Wars and Star Trek and Star Trek 2.
No, he didn't do Star Trek 2.
Star Trek. He didn't do Star Trek 3. He didn't.
No. He only directed the first Star Trek reboot. The second one wasn't him, because he had already signed on for Star Wars.
Oh, jeez. I'm so sorry, man.
Excuse that sound, guys. I'm unemployed right now.
No, I'm pretty sure he did Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay, can we just, is that real? That can't be your main.
No, it's
important. No. My point is, I was right. He did Into Darkness?
Yeah.
So it was the second shitty Star Wars 2? I'm sorry. So he's done, what, five films? He's directed five films over the course of his career. And people think he is the greatest director. Oh, he can reboot any franchise. He saved the day.
He also wrote the screenplay to Gone Fishing.
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
So he's awful.
I've never heard of that movie.
So he's awful.
What about Joe Pesci and Danny Glover?
What about his TV stuff, though, Quincy? Like
Lost? Oh, you mean the terrible
Alias?
TV show Lost?
What about
Alias? Awful television?
What about Alias?
Felicity, you monster.
Who watched Felicity?
I just think it's funny that he was like one of the, if you go back and read the interviews about what's the woman's name on Felicity?
Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell. Yeah. If you go back and read articles about Carrie Russell cutting her hair and how they blame that on ruining the show, one of the people you'll see interviewed about that whole debacle is J.J. Abrams, because he was a producer on Felicity.
And what did
Felicity
he say about
at the
that?
Time. He actually, from what I read, had... Like, he was more supportive of her because the show was actually on the decline anyway.
Before
like,
that.
Ratings were already dropping.
The hair represented the ratings.
And they just kind of scapegoated her.
What world did we live in where a white woman cutting her hair could ruin a TV show?
That still happens now.
Yeah. I mean,
really?
Yeah, it's absolutely
that's
the world
linchpin
we live
for you
in.
Guys watching a show is like, oh my God, her hair is shoulder length. Oh my God! Does she have a bob now? This show sucks. It's no longer relatable. Like,
did you like Alias?
This is the reason why I dislike J.J. Abrams as a creative individual. He has one mode when it comes to his TV shows. There's always a box. Any TV show he's ever done, there's always a mystery box.
Like a mystery.
That you don't know what's inside of it, but it holds the key to everything, but they never open the fucking box.
You know, that actually was Felicity.
Yeah, if you do the research, everything he's ever done ties back to Felicity.
Yeah, it's a shared universe.
Alias, Felicity,
Star Wars, and Star Trek.
Star Trek,
now,
all share universe
share
because
universe.
Of Felicity.
Yeah, yeah, she's the key.
So that Felicity
show actually
is Kylo Ren?
She's the fifth element.
She's Kylo or whatever the chick's name.
Yeah. Right. Felicity actually doesn't even take place on Earth. That's a thing a lot of people don't know.
Oh, shit.
It's just like a second planet It's like probably like a Mormon thing.
It's a pre-industrialized Coruscant.
Did J.J. Abrams direct the moon landing then?
No, that was Stanley. That was Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah. That was Kubrick.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
J.J. Abrams was a kid then.
Hey man, the moon gotta get him started early. Faked. Doogie Howser started as a kid. Come on.
Did I ever tell you guys about how I ran into J.J. Abrams at the In-N-Out near the airport?
You have, but please tell us again.
No, I'm not going to do that. Here's the one thing. Like, I loved Episode 7, except for that ridiculous...
Except for the ridiculous movie?
I'm going to kick your face in. Like, I hate you now. No, like, the part with the, like, the, oh, we caught ourselves a Quorn Malak in the spaceship. You know, the monster in the middle? Because he did that in Star Trek 1 on the ice planet, where it's like you break the middle of your movie to have a crazy beast chase after your main characters. Like, that happened in Star Trek 1, and it was in Star Wars. So in that regard, like, I was like, well, that was a little formulaic, but I actually really enjoyed Episode 7, and I think it was a great movie.
Oh, so you thought it was an amazing twist that in Episode 4, the father was supposed to kill the son, but in Episode 7... the son killed the father. Whoa, what a twist. What?
Fight cast. Didn't see that coming.
What? Awful.
Wow, Jeff's getting mad.
This is not okay. This is not going to go well at all.
J.J. Abrams.
Coming up on a future overrated. Fight cast.
Super overrated.
Jeff and Quincy arguing about J.J. Abrams.
I thought Cloverfield was great.
I loved Cloverfield. I thought Cloverfield was amazing. I actually like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
You mean his
also.
Bad Godzilla
I
movie?
I love 10 Cloverfield Lane.
It was not a bad Godzilla movie. It was a good Godzilla. You know what was a bad Godzilla movie? Godzilla. The last Godzilla movie.
Yeah, but they haven't made a good Godzilla movie since the original
since
Godzilla.
Since 1998.
Cloverfield. Cloverfield was
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Didn't you see Godzilla 2000? That was a fun one. Actually, didn't Shin Godzilla just come out? The Japanese one, it's like limited release out here, and I'm guessing it's just all shins.
It's all shins. Godzilla cut off at the knees and just his...
It's just bad shaky Shin cam. Godzilla.
But his shins are still like 5 stories high, so it's still pretty formidable.
Yeah, that Cloverfield, way too much shaky cam. I don't know what... He decided I'm going to do everything handheld, and it was awful.
Well, the thing
TJ Miller's a comic, not a cameraman, okay? He was in Cloverfield. Everyone knows that, right?
No.
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah, TJ Miller was the guy
was
holding
so great,
the camera.
You forgot who was in it.
TJ Miller was holding the camera most of that movie.
Oh, that's a great decision to have.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, man, let's get the drug-addled comic to come on stage.
Quincy's going.
Wow. Is this what happens before noon with you?
Hey, you guys woke me up early, and I only had one donut, coffee, and no cocaine. So this is what you're going to get out of me. This early. This is the truth, guys.
Don't even talk to me before I've had my cocaine.
That's my new t-shirt, by the way, guys. Look for my new merch. Not before cocaine.
Looks like it's cocaine o'clock.
Colombian. They're both Colombian. Let's just be honest. Come on.
It's 5 in Colombia. Doing a bump.
Cocaine time.
Okay. Fist bump. And then he just does a bump on his
fist. Dude, I should just do a bump off my fist and call it a fist bump.
I mean,
created something great, man.
JJ, you have to punch someone in the nose and then they sniff the cocaine. I don't think JJ Abrams is necessarily overrated because I think he's created very, very large scope things. Do I think every movie he's directed is the greatest movie? No. But he creates universes in really cool ways.
Was Lost a good TV show?
Yes.
I think Lost was a good TV show.
I saw 2 episodes
Seriously.
Of Lost.
So
I liked Lost.
I saw the first
Lost.
And last
you,
episode.
You liked Lost?
I think they botched the ending a little.
They botched the middle. Fuck the ending. They botched the middle of that series because everybody figured out it was purgatory. And JJ was like, we can't let the public have it. And they tried to change the story they had already established.
I kind of feel like
that. I thought
that
was Damon Lindelof in them. I thought JJ did the beginning and then he was hands off afterwards. Like, that's like the oldest Hollywood trick in the book.
JJ
is you direct the first episode and then you own a piece of the rest of the show.
No, JJ was super involved because in the middle of that series, after they changed the whole purgatory thing, what did they drop in the middle of that series? They have a giant monologue where one of the originals or the natives of the island comes to what was the bald guy, the old bald guy,
Locke.
Yeah, he comes to Locke and says, what if I tell you there's a box? And I turned my TV off in that moment. That monologue.
So you don't know if it was bad?
No, I know it was bad because he had an entire monologue about a mysterious box that's the box that could get them from the island back to civilization that no one knew what the fuck it did.
And it did.
Awful. Let
me tell you about Lost, okay? I watched 2 episodes. First episode, last episode. I feel like I avoided a lot of 90s. Gotta be honest.
You missed that whole third season, which was hot garbage.
Well, I know that they brought in Brian K. Vaughan, who's a great writer, to repair the show. He's a comic book writer. He writes a lot of great stuff.
Still waiting on that Why the Last Man TV show, by the way, Brian. Get your shit together. Come on.
Whoa.
Hey, that's fair. I could go how long have we been waiting on Why the Last Man?
I've been waiting on Why the Last Man for a while.
You're right.
Why the Last Man if you get a chance. It's fantastic. He also writes Saga, which is his current most popular comic. I went to see, I knew someone that was in Lost the Musical in L.A., because that's the thing that happened.
That was a thing?
Yeah, it was
that
actually.
That was a thing. I remember
really
it.
Really enjoyable.
Where was I? Probably in Los Angeles.
Yeah, probably somewhere. Yeah.
If you were here, I was here.
So. I probably asked if you wanted to go, and you said no.
No.
Anyway,
You weren't invited.
I had to gorge myself on
motherfucker.
Yeah.
I just did YouTube recaps of the series. Like, I had to watch the whole series in 10-minute clips over and over, and I was like, "All right, I feel like I got the same amount out of this."
I recapped 5 seasons of a show in 10-minute clips, and I got the same effect.
It was like
such a good show.
It was like reading a book report. Like, I got it.
You got those cliff notes.
I got them cliffs notes.
Just watching live reactions on YouTube, and all of a sudden he's an expert on the show because it was that awful.
Lost the Musical was fantastic, by the way. It was super enjoyable.
Was that because you were engaging in Congress with a lady that was in the show?
No, that's not at all.
I'm sorry, a guy that was in the show. Who were you sleeping with? Was it the polar bear? You were sleeping with the polar bear.
You can be supportive of a friend and not have that be the thing.
No, you can't, Jeff. I've met you. You have to be sleeping. That's why you're here. You're sleeping with Adam.
Well, come on.
Allegedly, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, you wouldn't.
Why you got to put us on blast?
Why do you got to make it sound so nice?
That is funny though. That in L.A., if you support anybody, it's like you want to sleep with that person.
Why do you think I asked the question? Yeah. I know that there's no way you were just being a supportive friend.
Yeah, or especially if someone's like, "Oh, I'm in this really great thing, and I put a lot into it." Be like, "Oh, I want to go to that." Be like, "Ooh," and it's like, "Well, I can't just
take your pants off.
I can't just want to see that."
Titties. Yeah. No, is that not what you were going to... Okay, go ahead.
But anyway,
he was sleeping with the polar bear.
I was sleeping with J.J. Abrams.
That, you son of a bitch.
There it is.
He's been the inside man the whole time.
Knew it.
Bastard.
Got a little like a microphone flower right here. That's going directly.
Speak directly into my Boston hat, please. J.J.'s listening.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Lost, but it's not a show I would ever... Like, you'll never say anything about it to make me mad because I don't care enough. I just enjoyed it, but I accept it had a lot of flaws.
I'm with TV series, like, I'm always more, I'll catch it later than I am, I want to invest my life in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I pulled the plug on Heroes right in the middle of season 2, and I'm like, I never have to
you
watch this show.
You made it to season 2 of Heroes?
Yeah, holy shit.
Season 1 of Heroes was great.
Yeah, but then you made it to season 2.
I watched, like, 4 episodes, and I'm like, I'm out.
Well, that seems like the logical progression from liking season 1.
No,
Watching season two.
Well, here's the only reason why that
doesn't
work.
Because we didn't know season 2 was garbage before it started.
Yeah, it took a couple episodes.
You knew it was garbage the way season 1 ended.
I actually really enjoyed season 1.
I actually never watched Heroes. How did season 1 end? Fuck spoiler alerts. Go ahead.
The entire series is based, and again, this is, again, highly overrated. Heroes, entire season is based around the quote, "Save the cheerleaders, save the world."
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yes.
They make this ultra-powerful villain in Siler, who is coming to get the only power he doesn't have, which is immortality. And then he doesn't get it.
So they save the world.
Then where do you go from there?
Well, then you have to deal with the future.
No, you don't have to deal with the future. Because you see what they did in season 2? They fucked it all up.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's like, even if you do sort of fix fate, there's still other shit that's
gonna happen. Flashpointed themselves. They had a character who could travel through time. So no matter what they did, they were like, "Oh, we can always just fix it by having him go back in time." They weren't smart enough to figure out. They fucked themselves at the end of that season.
All I'm saying is season 1 was fucking good.
Nah.
And after season 2 started to be super shitty, I was like, I'm out.
Nah.
And that's fine. Like, I was allowed to do that. And where with it when it was Lost, I was like, I don't have time for this show. Like, as soon as it came out, I watched the first episode. I'm like, nah. Like,
it was a lot harder to watch. I started watching Lost right before season 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I binge watched the first 2, so the first 2 seasons were amazing to me because that show was really hard to watch if you had to wait a week in between episodes.
Okay.
But if you saw everything, I feel that way about a lot of shows, and I think that's why binge watching has become a thing. If you had to watch Orange is the New Black every week, you would give up on that shit after 4 episodes. There is not a likable motherfucker in that cast.
I don't really like that show anyway.
Yeah, it's a shitty show.
Well, to be fair, though, I don't think that show's for us. That's not a male. That's not a male.
Whoa,
centric show.
Whoa,
like,
you're not, supposed to be an ally.
No, it's not, because it's a prison show, so what? It's not
you're
like
supposed to be an ally, bro.
Yeah, and I'm saying some stuff isn't made for us.
Like whoa. It's not like a womanly show. It's an all woman cast, but it takes place in a fucking prison. It's got its brutal moments.
Yeah, there's no tickle fights. That show's not real.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah,
for us.
You see people get murdered with bricks and shit. Mm. Like it's a dark show, but it's just there's
why
no
am I
one
so turned on all of a sudden.
Like, in my experience, there's no characters on that show whose story you can really get behind. Like,
never watched a single episode.
I mean, I liked the first season of it, but like,
I liked it too,
like,
because binge watching was like a new thing.
Yeah, but I could see that as being not a.
But if you had to watch it week to week, you wouldn't be.
That was
into
like
it.
How much of a bummer it was to binge watch season four of Arrested Development.
Yeah.
I'm just like, so oh, this hurts
yeah.
my heart.
Ugh.
But yeah, I mean, what do you want? They shouldn't have brought it back, I don't think.
Its magic existed from seasons 1 and 2 and sort of kind of 3.
I loved season 3.
You know, like
what happened, it's Tony Hale's fault. It's Buster's fault. Cuz he was the one that couldn't schedule cuz of his VEEP schedule. He couldn't like they couldn't fit it, so they had to do episodes that were focused on individual characters because their shooting schedules were so twisted.
Well, they should have edited the show. They should have shot everything the way they did and then edited the show the way they did the original, where there were multiple storylines in each episode that could carry on. But instead of, like, nobody wants to focus on.
It was like a J.J. Abrams show, God.
George, they should have just edited in scenes from Veep.
They should have, put in. They should have. Buster became the vice president. I've never seen it.
Dude, you need to email Horowitz right now, because that's genius. Yeah. That's fucking genius.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Okay, so.
Thank you.
So I feel like we're not going to come to an agreement on J.J. Abrams.
No, he's overrated. We can totally agree.
I see as a director, he could be overrated. But as a producer and creator, I disagree.
Jeff, do you have anyone that you wanted to bring up as.
Overrated?
Yeah.
Yeah, Quincy.
Okay, let's talk about that.
That's not very nice. I'm sitting right here, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Very harsh.
Excuse me, it's my time to talk now. I believe I had the floor.
Quincy's not for you, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. I'm not for you guys, so.
No, of course not.
No.
This is
for the ladies. Thing. Okay.
No, I mean as I was looking through, I mean there's I think Stan Lee gets way too much credit.
Ooh. Coming from
it.
You?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Coming from a historian of comic books? Yeah, there's going to be a guy that knows.
Do you realize you can't walk into a Comic-Con now cuz you've just blasphemed Jesus?
I'll be filming my TV show at Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con, formerly known as Kamikaze. No, but look, I mean, look, he stole a lot of stuff, did not give a lot of credit where credit was due, and he gets all this crazy credit.
So he's a white guy.
Well, yeah, but he ripped off other white guys. That's my problem.
Oh, because he ripped off other white guys.
Steve Ditko, very white. I mean, Stan Lee was kind of a monster. Like, if you read anything about the 60s and 70s of Marvel Comics with Stan Lee, mm-hmm. like, he really, like, he's like an idea man. He was a terrible writer. First off, he was not a good writer. He would have these ideas where he'd be like, I have an idea for a man, Spider-Man, go create it. And then somebody else creates Spider-Man, and then he's like, look what I made.
He stole that idea.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't steal the idea of Spider-Man.
Yeah, he did.
Blank Man. No, like anything man. Like he had the idea of Insect Man, it didn't hit, and then Spider-Man, I'm going to go with it. But Ditko created the entire visuals. It's sort of exactly what happened with Bob Kane when he created Batman, and then Bill Finger actually created what Batman was. Mm-hmm. If read like anything about the history of Marvel, and you'll be like, wow, Stan Lee was a monster. He was like a figurehead that really screwed out a lot of very hardworking people.
Here's a question. Yeah. Do you think the character, just on the character of Spider-Man, do you think the character of Spider-Man itself was what became popular, or Peter Parker as the character?
I think it was both. I think the
He stole Peter Parker.
What do you mean?
Peter Parker was
just a white dude.
From who?
From Doc Savage, the Doc Savage novels. The character of Punning Parker was in there first the skinny guy who talked shit while he kicked your ass. Punning Parker became Peter Parker. And that's the character of Spider-Man.
I don't necessarily see that. I'm not saying that he's not that he wasn't the mafia guy of comics and everything like that. I'm not saying that.
I'm going to break your fingers.
It's like Collins. I think that might be more. That might have ended up being more along the lines of. It's like joke thieves. You know, sometimes as a joke thief and sometimes as parallel thinking.
Punning,
and
I think, Parker, Peter Parker.
Well, that's alliteration, Reed Richards.
Well, no, I mean, but it's the idea that the character, while he's jumping around because he's agile, will talk shit to you while he beats your ass. That's not exactly what Spider-Man was.
Yeah, that's kind of what Spider-Man was.
That's fair enough.
I'm just asking.
It's what Spider-Man's doing on Quincy's shirt right now.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's standing strong.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
But is he talking some shit?
That, by the way, that's Steve Ditko drawing right there. The guy who actually created the visual of Spider-Man, which that's a big part of it, too. Like, you didn't have a character that looked like that at all. Like, nothing even...
I'd say
that the amount of, like, Stan Lee has a cult of personality as being this, like, nice grandpa, but yo, when he was 50, he was ruining motherfuckers' lives.
I like it more now than 45 years ago.
Yeah, he's an and plus I wish they would have, god damn it, just let him rest. Like, just give him like, they've been carting him around. And because his
cameos drive me nuts.
Well, no, I mean, but
every movie
he goes to Comic Cons.
Stop it!
The money he pulls into making a Comic Con appearance is insane.
Oh yeah,
and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, dude, just he doesn't need it.
If they're gonna pay some little cosplay girl $1,800 a day to wear a wig, Stan deserves every dollar he gets. Let's just put it out there.
He already took every dollar he got. Like, that's a thing. Like
he's already got all the dollars.
Yeah. He doesn't need, like, look. Yeah, he makes over $100,000 to do a show.
Does he need an assistant or cabin boy?
He's got 1,000 of them, and they're the ones that are carting him around.
Oh, nice.
Like, it's really bad. Like, you'll see him. We were at Palm Springs Comic Con, which is a really great con. You get Stan Lee, a lot of people want to come, but they want to come for the same reason that you want to go to. Like Lenin's tomb. Like, you're like, I don't know how long they're going to keep this thing here. Like, you don't know when, like every convention is probably Stanley's last convention.
So it's soon going to be like a Weekend at Bernie's thing where he's not really alive, but they just got him out there. There's some guy on strings or
assistant
holding him up and moving his arms.
I did an interview with him back in like 2013, and it was like just this super fluff of like, how are you enjoying Kamikaze? You know, what can we expect from the future? Oh, Kamikaze next year. And then like
he stole it and wrote it as an article about him interviewing himself.
I became a giant man in a baseball hat. But like there was his handler behind the camera that was like a maestro. He was like moving his hands around, and then he did this big like this big uplifting motion, and he just yelled, Excelsior! And that's how I knew the interview was done. I'm like, what? Okay.
What? Bye. Did he really yell Excelsior?
Yeah, that's what he does. That's his thing.
Who, Stan Lee yelled?
Yeah.
This is amazing. I did not know that Stan Lee was a puppet until
he's
right
now.
He's
just basically a puppet. Yeah, it was like weird. I was like,
Excelsior!
Excelsior!
Well, I know how I'm ending every episode.
I'm a puppet. But I felt really bad. Plus, I do these really weird things where... if Stan Lee does your convention, before the convention, they film a video condemning your convention. And if you don't pay the rent, because you get a payment plan with someone like Stan Lee, you pay and so he gets all these monthly checks. And they basically blackmail you.
Wow.
Yeah, they like threaten to like release that. I have a friend who ran a convention.
I love everything about Stan Lee now. I'm a fan.
Oh, you know but I'm it's all his handlers.
I'm on
that.
Board.
But like my friend ran a convention and that they were like about to release that because he was like, you got to give me a month. My convention is this month. I have to pay my bills so I can. And they were like, we're gonna release this video.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was really. I mean, that's maybe a little too insider information of why I'm not a fan. But even on the grand scheme of things,
yeah. But that's good, like, because that's information. That's what we want.
But in the grand,
you're doing fine. You're doing fine, Jeff. You're doing really good. But you're good at podcasts.
In the grand scheme, like Stan Lee can sign any Marvel comic book and it's like increases the value and stuff like that. Even though if he didn't create any parts of that, because he's like the guy that created Marvel, but all he really did was just
He
was like the Excelsior. Yeah. Blank Man. I keep saying Blank Man.
You really like Blank Man?
I really do like
Blank Man. Was good. I liked Blank Man.
Should have been at that marathon, by the way. I'm upset you didn't show up.
Yeah. I wasn't invited, was I?
Of course you were.
I might have been on drugs.
You were either drugs or tour. Yeah.
We should do that again. We should do another.
With another.
Oh, no. I didn't come because it was a full weigh-ins marathon.
Yeah.
It was just like, we can just gonna sit down and watch Blank Man or just like one weigh-ins movie. Like, don't be a menace. I'll do that.
That's not how marathons work.
That's how marathons work in my mind.
The Boston Marathon, everybody watch. It's just Blank Man. All the videos of Blank Man.
Hey, I can't sit through that.
That's why it was hard when someone yelled, "There's a bomb," because everyone thought it was just a weigh-in.
Now I want to talk about how overrated the weigh-ins are, but we need to.
Oh, we could argue about that because I strongly disagree.
Fight cast.
Yeah.
Fight cast.
Fight cast. I just found out today that the next fight cast is going to be Chet Wilde and Danger Van Gorder arguing WWE versus MMA.
Ooh.
And then I expect Danger is going to beat the shit out of Chet using actual MMA moves at the end.
I don't picture Danger beating anybody. Not that
Danger's
he can't.
An MMA guy, man.
Danger not looks, that he can't.
Danger's
but just
name
that
is
wouldn't.
Danger for a
his
reason.
Nanger, name, his Nanger's
his
Danger.
Danger, 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 Danger.
He's wiry.
He's wiry.
He's wiry. He does the.
He looks scrappy.
He does the exercises.
Yeah, man. He's got cardio and stuff.
Does he really? Is he trained? I'd like to fight Danger.
Yeah, I believe he
who
does.
Who wouldn't
I
you think like that's to fight? Though? Let's just be honest. Who wouldn't you like to fight?
Stanley.
Because you'd murder him.
I would murder him.
Yeah, be a dead you'd guy. Murder him. Hey, that all the Stan Lee talk, that actually brings us to an interesting point in this podcast. We have to jump off for a little bit so Jeff can do a thing.
Ooh. Yeah.
Jeff's going to buy some tickets to, what are you buying tickets to?
Scum and Villainy, the Star Wars pop-up cantina that will be in limited locations.
You're so adorable.
Why don't you run it to J.J. Abrams?
You don't even drink and you're going to a cantina?
Huh?
You don't even drink and you're going to a cantina?
They have a specialty pin and a t-shirt that you can get. And
nerd!
He only wants the pins so badly.
Yeah.
That book bag needs new pin space.
So then we can be out on the road and he can go, "You want a pin?"
Look at my
some rando dude.
Look at my pin. I think that's a nice thing.
That is a nice thing that you just give people pins sometimes.
If they're like, "Oh, I like your pins," I'm like, "Well, which one do you like?"
I have extras in my van.
What are you willing to do for this pin?
Yeah, like there's a lot of times little kids in the airport, they'll be looking
at never
him.
Mind, guys. No, we're not going to talk about you interacting with children again.
That kid was in Lost the Musical. All right.
So we're going to hop off for a minute so Jeff can buy some tickets.
Buy some tickets means taking a dump.
Hey.
That's what it's going to mean for me.
All right.
We'll be back.
Time out.
Oh, we're recording, by the way.
He had a little horsey. Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's talk about how overrated that album is.
whoa. We don't need to. Yeah, I understand you're in a bad place right now. But
we
you don't have to just
we
be
talked
mean.
About that album a little bit while we're on the road.
It is really an overrated album. Like, it's great that it did well and it created it, like, boosted their career. But it's really, if you look at back,
it didn't age
not,
well.
It does not age well.
Paul
at
Revere
all.
Is still pretty great. Brass Monkey is really great.
Yeah, but it's really not great.
Brass Monkey is great.
Yeah, Brass Monkey's an amazing song.
No, I mean
song.
It, like the album.
I thought he was dissing Brass Monkey. Like,
oh,
okay,
yeah,
you know
it's
what?
A great drink.
Podcast over. Friendship
fight,
over.
Fight for Your Right is a garbage
That's
song.
That's a garbage song.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn is not
garbage.
A very good song.
Yeah. It's okay. It's not garbage, but it's not great.
She's Crafty is bad.
Oh, I like Girls.
Yeah.
And I like the Beastie
I do not
Boys
like
song.
Yeah.
Girls, all I really want is girls.
I don't know how much we can do this of this before it's like.
I stand by this. Hello Nasty is by far their most underrated album.
I like Intergalactic, the one with Intergalactic.
That's
on.
Hello Nasty.
That's
yeah,
Hello Nasty.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
yeah,
such
yeah.
a good album, and oh, people yeah. just.
I'm
going
to say I like Paul's Boutique the best. To sound like a hipster piece of shit.
Oh my god!
Shit.
Do you have it on
what
vinyl?
Mean, what do you mean sound? Like?
Do you have it on vinyl that you bought in 2012?
You're wearing a fedora right now. What do you mean sound like a hipster piece of shit?
Paul's Boutique. It was a decent album. I bet Jeff would argue that ticketing services are overrated.
Overrated.
Debacle.
We took a 7-hour break. It's now nighttime in Los Angeles. And Jeff,
we never
got those tickets, guys.
We slept in front of the Star Wars.
Yeah, we were in line, in the queue, as the British would call it.
In the queue.
And for 7 hours waiting for these tickets, and they never showed up.
Ordered 4 tickets, and then they're like, "You have 15 minutes for us to have a wait screen and then crash in front of you."
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
So.
We did it,
no
guys.
Bummer. So Scum and Villainy Cantina in L.A., unless you have done right, fuck you.
Yeah.
We can fix that in post, maybe.
This literally goes up in an hour.
Oh, cool. So. That's perfect.
They have no time to answer before this goes
That's
up.
Fine.
If Me they and Quincy made it, if definitely they made right, didn't take the time fine. To smoke a bunch of weed.
What?
No.
No.
Never
that.
All right, but we're back.
And we're back.
Who should we talk about next? Should we talk about someone from the list?
Yeah, let's talk about the list.
Let's talk about...
You made the list.
Let's talk about J.D. Salinger.
Oh. Salinger.
Has anyone read Catcher in the Rye?
I read... in ninth grade, I attempted to for school, and I couldn't... I didn't really get through
it. Okay, I'm glad you said that, because when people... When you tell them you don't like Catcher in the Rye, what they inevitably say is, well, you have to read it at the right point in your life. And it's pretty much around the point where Jeff read it. So it makes me really happy. To me,
I couldn't read well then because of like ADD stuff. I couldn't read for more than 15 minutes.
Okay, I was totally on your side.
No, but like, I don't know. I don't even remember. I remember nothing. I think it's something about phonies. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
And like,
Privileged white dude complaining.
Well, let's
about
just be
life.
Honest. Catcher in the Rye is only famous because of the quote, if you build them, they will come, or whatever.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And because...
That was Waterworld, actually.
So many different assassins get caught...
Holding it, yeah.
They always have it, so people think it's a government plot. But no, it's just a book about assholes for assholes written by an asshole.
Yeah, and you're such an asshole that you disappeared from the public because of that book.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, don't tell me how great of a writer he is if he only wrote one book.
Well, no, he wrote other books.
Only released...
No, I mean, he wrote Franny and Zoe, Nine Stories, Raise High, and I'm looking it up online. He wrote a bunch of books. He just disappeared.
Okay.
So he would only... It's not like... what's her name? To Kill a Mockingbird. It's not like Harper Lee.
Yeah.
Who only wrote the one book and then disappeared until they were like, oh, she's going to die soon. Let's Stanley her next book out.
But he stopped writing, right?
I mean, no, he wrote.
Are any of those books considered great?
Yeah, but nobody cares. That's the thing. Like, you wrote one great book, or one book that people consider great, and then a bunch of stuff no one gives a shit about.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he was terrible to begin with, and they just got the wrong message on that one.
It's funny because this is the one. Did you read Catcher in the Rye?
I read it when I was in high school, and I hated it.
Yeah. I think being told when you have to read a book is a good way to make someone hate a book. That's
well, it's like it's just like any TV show where people are like, oh, you have to give it 6 episodes. Well, then it's not that good of a show.
Yeah.
Like, a good show should start good. Like, it's one thing if it picks up to the point that that show is then on for 8 seasons and turns into something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but don't come to me season 1, episode 8, and be like, this show is amazing. You just have to give it the first 7 episodes.
It's just like where I'm dumb because, like, I got bored with The Wire.
What?
I know. I get that I'm wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong about that. I get it. I understand 1,000%. But, like,
I know what we're talking about for the next half hour.
Yeah. What the hell did he just say
to
me?
I know.
It is...
Mid-second season, I was like, I'm just bored.
Oh, well, the second season's the worst, I think. Is that the one with the shipyards?
That's the west when they shipped it over to the docks, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely... That, I would argue... It's still a great season, but it's definitely...
The worst of the seasons out of the series.
The worst of the seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this is fucking boring.
But you did enjoy season 1, right? Or did you start at season 2?
Yeah, no, I liked season 1.
Okay.
Season 1, but it's not, it doesn't.
He doesn't even know Marlowe yet.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot that I don't.
Want it to be one way, but it's the other way.
Yeah, you do all the Wire stuff you want at me right now.
I just did. That was Marlowe like, confronting the security guard.
Salinger.
Still a sucker. Power move.
Salinger is
out to Marlowe.
Hipster Steinbeck.
Yeah.
Where they're like, this is the guy I identify with. And it's like, do you identify with him?
Yeah. Then go away for 25 years.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Was the hipster plan the whole time? They're just going to disappear. Wouldn't that make them heroes at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could be heroes.
It's like the end of Looper.
It's exactly like the end of Looper.
Yeah.
Really? Will you give it a shot? Can we just skip season 2?
I just signed up for HBO Now.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Been watching Flight of the Conchords again.
All right.
You should watch The Wire.
Yeah.
Is it as violent as Flight of the Conchords?
Almost.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm going to shoot your face now. Rit.
Who else was on the list that we should talk about?
Dr. Dre.
Let's talk about Dr. Dre. Do you not identify with my...
This is an internal debate I struggle with all the time.
Yeah.
because as a producer, yes, Dre pretty much sampled every hit from the 60s and 70s to become a star.
Created the G-Funk era, really.
Yeah. He definitely did.
Yes, he was instrumental in the G-Funk era, but the problem is you can name very few original Dre beats that you go, oh, man, he created that.
Right, yeah. Right.
Everything is like, I have a mix at home where it's all the music Dr. Dre sampled in like some of his biggest hits. And then I'll hear a song and I'm like, oh, shit, that was a sample. I hadn't dug deep enough in the crates to even realize that he had pulled that sample. So I've been giving him credit for the drums off of What's the Difference for so long. And then I hear the original and I'm like, oh, you. And it just every
California
time I hear
love.
It just pulls a rung from his.
Yeah. And it's also ladder, you know? Whenever you there was like that. The oral history of the Chronic, and like I guess like a lot of his stuff was just like he would write like do the song and then DOC does 16 bars and DOC would be like wait what, and like he would like free like a lot of that was just freestyled
because like I don't know I guess
he's
it's
the
magic.
Puffy of the West Coast in terms of music.
Well, no, he's not. I'm not gonna give him that. I'm not gonna make him that much of a devil. Cause fuck Puffy. Puffy is pure evil. I will stand by that on all. Even his terrible not vodka vodka. Everything he touches is disgusting. But
he just called J-Lo disgusting.
Hey, I've met several different
people.
He
doesn't like Puerto Ricans.
Well, no, I've met several different people in Hollywood just on that sidebar that have all said that the worst person they've ever worked with. From crew to actors to directors, was Jennifer Lopez.
That sounds about right. Yeah. From Fly Girls.
That seems reasonable.
I'm not saying she's not hot. I'm just saying she's an awful person. That's why she was with Puffy. You see what I'm saying? Puffy is the goddamn devil.
Birds of a feather.
Yes, man.
Okay, so finish what you're saying about Dr. Dre.
But Dre, like Snoop, Pac, once he actually blew up on the West Coast, Kendrick Lamar, Nate Dogg, all these people.
Eminem.
Eminem. All of them prospered. Under the tutelage of Dr. Dre.
It's almost like a pyramid scheme.
And it's like you got to give him credit for that.
Right, yeah. He's great at discovering talent.
So that's why I struggle with my decision on whether he's
a great
reader.
He's a
great
reader.
Awful.
He's a great reader of things that will be popular. He's like a futurist.
Yeah,
he's like the Tony Stark of hip hop, really.
And I think in some cases he at least replayed those samples.
Mm-hmm.
Like he brought instruments and musicians in to do the work. So that I feel like that set him apart a little bit. Puffy definitely didn't do that.
God damn it!
Puffy was like Thomas Edison. He just had a compound full of producers.
Right,
and then. Whenever somebody made a hot track, he would just walk in and be like, well, you did it in my compound, so it's a Puffy track.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So fuck him. He's evil. He is the damn devil. Puffy is the devil.
But you know, it's funny, too, because allegedly. The Chronic was so great.
The Chronic was amazing.
I love that album.
And that album is all samples.
It is.
It's all samples.
But then the aftermath happened, and you're like, this is not
that album
very
was
good.
Trash.
Even
he had
he,
one
even
good
he,
song on there.
Been there, done that.
Nah, I wasn't even. That was like a deep cut on there. That was the only song I enjoyed. Been There, Done That was terrible.
He had a Razzcast song on there that was really good.
Like you know, you can. It's one
shout
of those
out to Razzcast.
But that was also during that time period in hip hop because I again got to give him a pass where everybody was dropping double albums and they were not double album worthy.
I would love to argue All Eyes on Me during a fight cast with someone because I feel like that.
You don't think it's good or you think it's bad?
I think it's super duper overrated.
Okay.
I think for a lot of the same reasons you're bringing up, it's all samples.
Excuse me?
Like his flow, it all sounded the same. Oh,
what's your phone number?
You're definitely not winning me over with that.
Maybe let me give you a cup.
He really thought that was going
to
sell
you up.
Yeah. Like all the songs
where he pranks girls and stuff.
I mean, like one of the biggest hits, he's just rapping to a fucking Blackstreet song. I ain't mad at you. Don't Leave by Blackstreet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry if I went too urban on everyone just
you
now.
You did.
No, but I feel like I might have.
Is that's probably the first Blackstreet reference in unpopular opinion history.
Remember Dr. Dre rapped
on No Diggity.
Was on No Diggity.
Oh,
probably
shit.
Blackstreet's finest moment, and he was definitely
he was
the worst part of that song.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wonder who wrote that for him.
Blackstreet Teddy, the original Rum Shakers.
That's the thing, too. Doesn't write any of his rhymes.
Oh,
so that's in that way, he's a lot
he
like
Puffy. He
hates
the way he sounds on Wax anyway.
I hate the way he sounds on Wax. Like, I feel like it's a Like, he just feels like he's cock-blocking my quality time
with, with a good beat.
The other people around him. Just like, yo, make your music and get out of the room.
Why are you talking?
Yeah, I mean, Dre's important, but as a, I don't know, it's tough because he is important. He in a way, kind of created the modern landscape of hip-hop by sampling and by not being
No,
great
he didn't at, invent sampling.
He didn't invent it, but he really pushed it forward. I mean,
I don't feel like he necessarily pushed it forward. I feel like there are people who've used samples more creatively and more effectively than Dre. I feel like DJ Premier is the premier, the best rap producer of all time.
All right.
Really?
Yeah.
Primo is the best of all time.
Yes.
Over Pharrell and Timbaland.
Oh shit! Yeah. Well, now Timbaland's pretty great.
See what I'm saying? Like, you gotta.
But Premier.
Wait a second, Jay Dilla. Premier, you can't give Primo that over Jay Dilla.
Yes, I can.
No
Premier
way.
Premier produced a fucking Christina Aguilera album, and it was amazing. Like, he could do anything, and he would do it with a drum machine and like 3 seconds of one song that he would just manipulate the fuck out. He's got that J. Rue the Damages song where the entire beat is just water dripping, and it's the coolest shit.
Primo is great.
I mean, he's not dead.
Shouts out to Primo. Shouts out to Prairie View A&M. But you can't give him that over Dilla. Like, you can. You
Dilla
can't
doesn't
walk
have
in.
As much.
What the hell?
I mean, I hate to say it, but Leukemia wins that argument.
Oh shit!
Like, Premier's just been around. Like, I grew up with DJ Premier. Yeah, I bought the first Gangstar album when I was in 1988.
I was listening to Prime when I text you that I was on my way. I'm listening to Prime in the house.
Yeah.
Like, that fucking Courtesy is my jam, man.
Yeah. Jeff, you want to get in on this DJ Premier talk?
Yeah, that's good. Who did the Blade 2 soundtrack? Who did that?
Wesley Snipes.
Oh, God. Him and Blade, Okay, so we're gonna focus on better things, like how overrated Madonna is or something. Because I don't.
Yeah, can we talk about Madonna?
I don't want to.
Madonna's the Dre of white women, isn't she?
Well, Madonna just steals. Like, that's what Madonna built her career on. She's been sued for plagiarism 15 times.
She plagiarized that whole sex book.
I think she did kind of steal that idea from someone.
Well, it's an art book.
Yeah, but she's not an artist. She doesn't have ideas. She is just a thief who can dance a little.
She was great in Dick Tracy.
Well, was she?
Yeah. And in A League of Their Own?
Yeah, she was good in A League of Their Own.
What do you mean, nah?
I think she was good that one time she was on SNL.
She's actually probably a better actress than she is.
So I can see that.
She's so good.
She's a trendsurfer.
I mean,
because she pretends to be things she's not.
She goes to theft and stealing, like, you know, people's ideas. That's what actors do. We just steal everything we see from other people.
She travels to other places, sees what's popular, knows it'll hit America eventually, so then brings it over.
Yeah, like, but then remember that time she tried to learn guitar? And she went a couple years like, oh, I'm going to play guitar when I play my songs. No.
Is that when she also had the British accent that she stole from her
Yeah,
husband?
It was actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guy Ritchie. Remember when he directed that god-awful movie with her in it?
Oh,
about,
yeah.
Like,
I never saw it. I think it's called
like
Swept
that.
Away.
Yeah.
I never saw it. Yeah.
But we should see that.
But my favorite thing about that situation is that once they divorced, Madonna has to pay him alimony. So we won that one, guys. Way to go, guy.
And we got
shout out to men's rights.
We got a really great Man from U.N.C.L.E. Did you see Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Is it good?
Really good.
I'm such a big fan of the show. I was very happy with the way that movie came out.
Yeah, Man from U.N.C.L.E. it should have made so much money.
I was very concerned with Armie Hammer playing anything.
Lone
Ranger, I was like,
fault.
I don't trust you.
Not
I
his
don't
fault.
Trust you.
I actually kind of like the Lone Ranger.
No, your favorite actor's in The Lone Ranger. Of course you didn't like that movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's weird that I like The Lone Ranger, but we're also going to talk about Johnny Depp.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Johnny Depp is kind of an overrated piece of shit. People are like, Johnny Depp's never won an Oscar. Yeah, it's because he's not that great of an actor.
I do feel like his Pirates of the Caribbean character, Jack Sparrow, was so good.
It's Keith Richards.
He's
just being Keith Richards.
When people say Johnny Depp is a great actor... No, he's not. He's a great character actor.
Yeah.
When he's covered in makeup and immersed in full character, then you go, then he can just be Keith Richards, and that's the character of Jack Sparrow or whatever. But in terms of, hey, Johnny Depp just no,
police
like,
are coming
no
to
covered.
Shoot Quincy for talking about Johnny Depp.
Hey, man, I'm in L.A. The people are always listening.
They don't need a reason.
Like, you've never seen him without makeup on just as Johnny Depp.
He's the
something, and it's like, oh, he's so riveting and so
exactly.
He's like, he sucks. Every movie he's done, he sucks.
He's the Daniel Day-Lewis of people that shop at Hot Topic.
That's interesting. You're right. He's a character actor.
He's low rent. Daniel
who's
Lewis.
Always
look at his best stuff
in the
I guess.
Lead role.
Yeah. His best stuff, like Rango, was great. Or is it Ringo or Rango?
That was an animated movie.
Well, yeah, but exactly.
But
it
that's
was great.
A, like, that doesn't count.
But like Pirates of the Caribbean, he's great in that.
That was
but
good for one, but there, we don't need five of those fucking
movies. Well, here's the thing. He's so entertaining as that character, they just made more movies around
that
character.
That's what Quincy's saying, is he's
not great.
Just a good character. Mm-hmm. Like, he does, like when Tim Burton dresses him up in wacky shit, he's good at being a character.
Oh, you know, he was good in Sleepy Hollow. He was actually really good in Sleepy Hollow. I'm not gonna lie. Like he was decent in that.
Okay, but that's still
and
that
was a
still
very
doesn't
boiled down.
Really shouldn't necessarily merit him the acclaim he gets as an actor.
No, he's not Gary Oldman, and he gets more.
Yeah,
like,
and you brought up
attention.
Daniel Day-Lewis. I feel like Daniel Day-Lewis also does characters, but he acts those characters. Like he could look like Daniel Day-Lewis and just
and
be
still
a
be
completely
Abraham Lincoln.
Different
like,
fucking.
He just added
person.
The beard for effect, but he was gonna be.
Yeah.
It's just it's one of those things where and you can argue that he does just as well as Daniel Day-Lewis, so he's great. No, the thing is you've never seen him not be in like full makeup with a fake nose and be good.
You're definitely remembering him in 21 Jump Street right now, aren't you?
Oh my god,
that's what you're.
Oh my,
that's what you're using him as, aren't you?
No, I saw him in the movie he did with Angelina Jolie. That was awful.
Was it The Ninth Gate? Was one that he was like really terrible in.
Yeah,
but yeah, 21 Jump Street was terrible.
Any movie when it's
movie?
Just
no,
I
like the
no,
the,
I meant
the
I meant
TV
the
show.
Movie. I meant the movie that where he was undercover as one of the characters at the end.
Oh god!
And he was wearing the fake nose and everything. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's like any movie that just has his face on the poster is probably going to be kind of a.
Oh yeah, what was that awful one that people were like, oh, comes? It was like one guy's name. It was like Gwyneth Paltrow was in it.
Oh,
it was like an
I don't know. What about
Chocolat?
Chocolat. That was garbage.
Chocolat.
Chocolat? You mean chocolate? No, chocolat.
Yeah, he's awful.
Did anyone see Black Mass?
I did see Black
Mass.
Whitey Bulger?
See it.
Yeah,
the,
I did see
the Whitey Bulger
I didn't,
movie.
I thought he was terrible.
The entire movie fell flat. It felt
Black
flat.
Mass. Yeah.
Because there have been so many good movies about Whitey Bulger already. They weren't doing anything new with the story. And then, but you know what? They sold it around. Johnny Depp is covered in head to toe.
Yeah.
Like, face covered totally in makeup. So it's going to be a character coming at you.
Yeah. People really love him because of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Like, that's really, I think,
but
where
isn't
it really
Benicio that...
Oh, I hate that movie. I'm not a fan of that movie whatsoever.
Yeah.
But that's the one
I
think that really...
But that's still just another example of him putting on a wacky costume. It's not like you'll never... I can't think of a time when...
Yeah, it's really... I mean, I'm looking through his stuff right now, and it's just really, really not okay. Oh, he was in Freddy's Dead. He was in Nightmare on Elm Street Part 6 as well as the first Nightmare on Elm Street. I didn't know that.
Was he Freddy Krueger?
Things you find
was
out.
He old,
no, he
old
was
Krug?
The... You remember it from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. Right? But still, that's when 21 Jump Street was out, so F that dude.
Yeah, I'm looking. I just did a quick little YouTube... not YouTube. A Google search of movies he was in, and I'm like... Oh, this was fucking terrible. Oh, this one was terrible. Oh, this was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Gilbert Grape, I guess he was all right.
Yeah, I mean, he's,
when he was
he's
younger,
had
I
his
think
moments,
he was.
We said he's
I
been
guess.
Good. Like, he's cool, but is
Donnie
he,
Brasco.
Would you put him in the
yeah,
rankings
Donnie Brasco,
of like,
I think, was one.
Of Nicholson. Would you put him up there in the pantheon of like Nicholson?
I wouldn't
Nicholson
even put him up there
Denzel
with Leonardo
or,
DiCaprio.
Yeah, you can't even stick him with Leo. Yeah.
You're not fucking with Leo.
They don't even mention that. What Mordecai? That was the one.
Mordecai.
That I was
Mordecai.
Remember
him?
That
yeah.
thing bombed hard, didn't it?
He's not good. I've never been like thinking Johnny Depp. Oh my god, he's so.
You know, it'd be great. You know, who'd be good in this movie is if it was Johnny Depp.
Yeah, yeah. I've never thought that.
But he's got a lot of money, and his wife says she hit him or he hit her, something like that.
That was really stressful when that came out because a lot of people were like, nah.
Well, that's one of those things where what if he did, but everybody just jumped to his defense because he was in character at the time. You know, it's like, no, he's working on a thing because, you know, actors can work on things and get away with murder. That's why I got into the business. I've killed a guy. No.
We knew.
It's, well, you know what? I have to say this. He did produce Doug Stanhope's new stand-up special.
And Doug Stanhope came up to him and said, Doug Stanhope wrote an article saying he didn't hit
her. He wouldn't do that. Yeah.
But that's weird. Like
Doug Stanhope. Wait, he did what to Doug Stanhope?
He produced Doug Stanhope's newest stand-up special. And wrote the foreword to his book. Johnny Depp wrote the foreword to Doug Stanhope's mother. Yeah, they're really close. But that's why everybody jumped to his defense, because it's like he's a nice guy, if you will, but he is in no way a good quality performer when it comes
standards. He's certainly overrated. He certainly doesn't have the level of he's got a level of acclaim much higher than he probably deserves.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
I would argue that.
I mean, yeah, I think a lot of his stuff from when he was younger was a lot more sort of like subtle. And now I think Tim Burton has really put him in the situation to be an over-the-top actor.
And I'm sure his argument would be, well, I do those movies so I can do the... I can afford to do the cheap... But yeah, you suck in those other movies. So
I do a Pirates of the Caribbean so I can do a Mordecai.
Yeah.
He shouldn't do a Mordecai.
All right. I do a Dark never Shadows go full Mordecai. So I can buy a house.
Never go full Mordecai.
You never, don't you know, man? You never go full Mordecai.
All right. Should we do comments?
Yeah, man.
Sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We're working with a weird setup today. So what I'm going to do, did everyone listen to the last episode? The Connor and Randall
debacle? God. What a delicious episode to listen
to. We're going to read comments from that, and I'm going to have Jeff. Did you listen? You probably didn't listen to it.
I was going to listen to it on my drive to Fresno today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you are going to love it.
You're in for a treat.
You're a Connor McSpadden fan, aren't you?
He's a good kid, actually.
You know what he's well known for, right?
Yeah, but we hung out in San Francisco International Comedy Competition.
Very talented comedian. Yeah. But boy, did he not turn it off.
Yeah.
He did not turn off the roasting. The mean boy. He was a mean boy.
He was a mean boy? Ooh, this is going to be fun.
And watching Randall.
Yeah.
Poor, sweet, precious man Randall just melt down and battle. Oh, it was.
And we're not going to do voicemails because we're saving those for something special.
Ooh.
That me and Jeff are going to talk about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. On tomorrow's announcement. We have a very special announcement coming tomorrow. Bah, 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 bah. But for now, let's get into...
Okay.
You know, it's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter. But I want you to know that's not true. We call this segment Your Voice Matters, where we read your stupid fucking comments from the last few shows and respond to them personally.
Personally.
Fade it out, Brett. All right. That was fun.
Yeah.
Let's.
We have, as we're still setting up the studio, we only have one access to the actual comments, right? Like with the access point.
Yeah. We'll have it.
Yeah. We'll get that built up.
Straightened out tomorrow.
I'll pull it up on my phone.
What is going on outside?
Yeah. It's downtown LA.
You talk shit about Johnny Depp. Somebody's going to come and get you.
Yeah. We're downtown LA during the daytime this time. So that's happening. All right. Jeff, do you agree with this? Mary Jane Foxy says, this episode was a bit hostile. Did Randall meet that dude in the parking lot after the show? Do you agree it was a hostile episode, Jeff?
That was... I cringed listening to it alone in a bedroom in an Airbnb in Chicago. It was the most hostile...
Imagine what it was like being in the room.
I swear to God, like, I was imagining being on that episode and just being like, oh, this was a bad mix.
It was very bad.
Yeah.
It was... I felt bad for Brett. I'm sure Brett felt bad for me. It was dark.
You know, what was really funny, too, is all people could talk about was that episode during the first couple of days of the tour. And Tom Ryman's like, I still have to hear it. Everyone won't stop talking about it.
Yeah. We got a lot of questions and comments about it.
Is that what are the listener numbers on that one? Were they very high compared to average? Were they higher or lower? Or?
Well,
the numbers were about average or...
The column it was attached to didn't do that well. They're a little bit higher than normal. We got way more comments.
Yeah, the comments, because I was like, look, I'm like, this is just a shit show.
So what was the actual topic of that podcast?
Rodrigo Duterte. We were talking about politics in the Philippines.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, we didn't.
There was like maybe 4 minutes of that.
Because here's, let me set the scene for you.
Okay.
Connor came on the show once, and he was fine. He was funny. I think
Jeff
might have
been on. With me in the first episode.
Yeah.
Or, I know I've done one of them with him.
It was, like, it was fine. It was just seemed like a regular appearance by any guest.
But the fans.
But people hated him. Like
some people loved him.
Yeah, there were people who loved him, but...
They were called him toxic.
Yeah, there's the people responsible for us saying the hood fucks with Unpops. According to their comments, that is, it's a trap house in New Jersey. Yeah.
Connor's not the most popular in the trap house.
Okay.
He said, Connor is a toxic person that I need to cut out of my life. And
which, by the way, we love Connor. That's why it's really
Connor's
funny. Like,
Connor's great. It was, it just seemed weird. So I tried to have Connor on again on a Trump podcast. And he was like, I can't do it, but I'm a big politics junkie. So next time you have me on. Or next time you do something political, have me on.
Okay.
So I thought this Duterte thing would be a good way for Connor to come on and just, you know, reestablish his presence on the show as a dude who's funny and knows things.
Trying to get the hood to fuck with Unpops.
With Connor.
With Connor.
The hood
on Unpops.
Fucks with Unpops.
Oh, the hood already fucks with Unpops. But now we want the
Connor's hood. Pass has been revoked. But what happened instead is, like, every time Randall would talk, Connor would just... like roast him.
He would just sting him a little bit.
Like every time. And it...
he just couldn't turn it off.
Yeah, and Randall, like obviously this was like a stranger just relentlessly talking shit about him. So Randall didn't take it that well either, or didn't take it that well. Yeah. And he started like kind of jabbing Connor
vicious,
back.
Yeah.
And it was just that the rest of the show.
I'm
was
so
just,
excited to hear that.
Oh, I'm so excited that you get to hear it. That's how much I loved that episode.
At one point, Connor got up and walked out of the room to use the bathroom. And I was like, that was weird. And he was like, I was just trying to like diffuse the tension. It's intense.
Wow.
It's intensity in one city. It's different when you say intensities. But
oh, my God.
Yeah,
man, you never know what can pop off. The Philippines is a very politically charged place, man. You bring topics like that up, people are going to get in their feelings, I guess. I don't know.
Thassos F says, I would watch the shit out of a buddy cop series with Connor and Ryan.
Absolutely.
This young lady said, I actually got anxiety listening to this episode. Wow.
Yeah, I could hear that.
Maybe you need to calm the fuck down, woman.
Glenn Vandadude says, can we do a podcast with Connor versus the Jersey Hoodlums? First of all, who the fuck says hoodlums anymore? I don't know.
The
don't
streets.
One of my 11th grade algebra teacher, to me specifically, used that word.
Did they call you a hoodlum?
Yeah, she did. And I was like, don't you want to call me a rapscallion first? did not do well.
Can Connor just like fuck Randall and get it over with? Jesus Christ.
Oh, they did.
Oh, they banked it out. Good job, guys.
Oh, look at this exchange. Ping Anthony says, Randall was cranky from quitting coffee and took Connor's gentle, almost loving ribbing too seriously. And Randall replied and said, I'm triggered by lazy insult comedy.
Oh,
shit.
That's how great the podcast
Randall
was.
Randall is not letting this go.
No, it went into the comments thread. No, that I kind of wished... I'm glad I wasn't there because it would have been a very different show, but I wish I could have been watching that happen.
Okay, so then here's my question. Who are the streets saying won the exchange, in your opinion? Who do you say, like, won?
I feel fans. Like it's, the fans it's won. Kind the fans of won. Split.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because Randall, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to say, especially when you're not a comic professionally, to have somebody like that's a roast comic come at you. And you're just a guy, you know, you're a funny guy that does, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of photo manipulation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like stand-up isn't Randall's world. And so it really threw him for a loop to have somebody sort of like try to roast battle him. Well, these guys, they put it, it's hard to derail yourself when that's what you're known for now. You've made a podcast called Mean Boys, you know, and there's a lot of times where they just try to, they just naturally, they're their
the
base
instinct,
level
the
is
instinct
the instinct
to just
is
hit
to
back
just
even if there's no reason
say
to.
Something shitty. And we live in a society.
So what, in your opinion, what do you think is worse? Somebody who's like always ribbing back, or someone who's always trying to be like the punchline guy who's like, here's another zinger, where they're not coming at a person, but they're just trying to joke too
much. I think the coming at a person is because when you get into the real world, you realize that you're not supposed to be shitty to the people that you work with and the people around you. Like, if you're roasting people outside of the belly room in the comedy store, you're an asshole.
I mean, we shit on each other all the time, but that's because we're around each other all the time and we have that relationship. But if you don't know someone and you show up firing shots,
we also
like,
talk bad.
I feel like I maybe set the tone for it because I improvised the intro. I didn't write it down. And me and Randall, and Randall do that.
Yeah.
And so during the intro, I was just like, look at this motherfucker with his fancy coffee. Blah, blah, blah. And I think Connor like took that as, oh, well, that's what we're doing.
Oh,
but it's very
shock jacket.
It was very much a, I can fuck with Randall like that, but you can't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like when someone picks on your brother.
Yeah,
I can do that. You can't.
Yeah. So me and Randall murdered Connor after the show. No, it was fine. I think everyone's patched things up. Connor will be back on the show.
Okay. I'd love to have him back on.
Not with Randall, but he'll be back on. All right. So
maybe with Randall. That would be, you know, maybe a kiss and makeup session.
We should probably wrap it up. I can't see the online stopwatch.com clock from the angle I'm sitting, but I'm sure we're close to an hour, right? No one's going to look at it and tell me? Okay.
It's not over your shoulder. Oh, the fine. Website's covering it.
Oh. Oh. So
how about that?
Oh, so now that's my fault.
Yeah, you dirty son of a bitch. I thought you knew you couldn't see it because you had the website up.
Oh, yeah. That was the problem. An hour six.
He's mad at me when he really should be mad at himself.
Does anyone have anything to plug?
Go ahead, Jeff. What do you plug?
If you're in Burbank this Friday, please stop in a Mint on Card at Blast from the Past. Why are you doing that face? What's the deal?
That's how your head moves when you talk.
Well, all right. Second Friday of every month, Mint on Card, Blast from the Past. It's a great show. We get a lot of great comics on, plus Mint on Card alums show up, drop in, do a set or two. It's a really good time.
Quincy?
If you're in town this Thursday, what's Thursday, the 14th, 15th?
Something like day. That.
Doing a show called Tasty Comedy. It's at WeWork La Brea, 925 North La Brea Avenue. Come on out to that. Nerd Rockers Ball on the 29th with Vanessa Gritton and the beautiful Jeff May. And
that's me.
Yeah, and then just some other things down the pipe. Follow me on Twitter, at Quincy Johnson II. I post all show information on there.
Yeah.
PUI show in Santa Monica. We're going to be out there getting messed up, too. So if you're in Santa Monica or Venice, come to that.
Come see me on tour with Portugal the Man starting October 25th.
That's going to be hot.
Buy our album.
I will be selling those at the show, hopefully. Nice. I haven't run that by them yet.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure they'll be fine with it. I'll just stand outside the venue like a homeless person. yeah, come to those shows. Subscribe to the weekly podcast at connectpal.com/unpopularopinion. And we're going to have a whole lot more podcasts on there for you to check out.
A lot coming down the pike.
What?
So
this is news to me.
Yeah. We actually have a special announcement podcast about it coming tomorrow.
Yay.
Yay. So that's, listen to that.
Tomorrow's only like 6 hours from now because we didn't tell you guys, but we took another 10-hour break.
Yeah.
So Jeff could try to get these fucking Star Wars tickets.
Yeah.
So now it's almost like
it's actually 6 a.m. tomorrow now,
yeah.
Which is really weird.
We just traveled through time, guys.
Yeah, we did it. All right. Quincy, say goodbye.
Bye.
Jeff, say goodbye.
I'll see you guys later.
What are you doing over there, bro?
Well, I'm being sexy.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
One object. One object. Oh!